done it yet. He's already done it, folks.
Says follow, yes, whatever. Follow us for more kingdom conversations.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
They'll edit that. Praise God.
They think they became a.
Ooh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I like that. Yeah.
All right, welcome back, Tribe of Judah podcast, where we talk about faith, testimonies, and journey walking with God. I'm your host, Kenneth Baldwin, and today we have a very special guest, Reverend Brother Minister Curtis Hermes.
Thank you for having me. It's
no problem.
Long time in the making, right?
But
I'm excited to be here and to see what it's all about. Tribe of Judah is about praise, so are we going to be doing some praising or what?
We should, yeah. A little bit of praising.
Praise God.
Praising God. All right, well, we'll get right into it. Just want to ask you a few questions about your testimony. I'd say one of the number one questions is, like, a lot of people like to hear the background and where people come from, because a lot of times how you react to things and what you end up being as a person is a lot of your background and where you come from. So what would you say life was like growing up?
Well, first of all, I come from a split home early on, so life was good. I had good. My dad was awesome. You know, I had a great grandmother, and then he married after I was six, and so life was good. There are unique challenges that come along with having a split home, but I can't really complain too much. You know, God's good.
Did you always have a relationship with God? Would you say your relationship?
Absolutely not. Really? I was, for lack of a better term, I had no desire, right?
Yeah.
I was raised around the things of God. I was raised around church, but the desire for church didn't really click in until after I was grown and had children.
Yeah.
To a degree, yeah.
What were some of the struggles, some of the battles that you faced in life? What would you say you had to go through?
Well, not to get too deep, but my biological mother was non-existent. And so for a young person that deals with rejection, I guess, to a degree.
Yeah.
It is something that plagues you for a long time. Even into manhood or becoming an adult, you will have little things that trigger things like that. So I would say that was probably, for my adolescent and younger years, that was probably the most difficult thing that I really dealt with, was just not understanding that aspect of life and why things are the way they are in that area.
Yeah.
But as I grew, the issues that I dealt with obviously grew.
Yeah, right? 100%.
You grow and your issues grow with you.
Your problems.
So I dealt with a lot of different things, and I don't know if that's later in the podcast or if we talk about that now.
We can talk about it now, later on. There's a whole bunch of different segments, okay. So we'll get into it.
All right.
Hey, what was one of the defining moments where you really think that you fully, completely, and totally surrendered to God? What was the main thing where you said, okay, God, I've had enough. I'm coming to you and, fully surrender everything.
Yeah, I would say for each person is different. But for me, God had to literally take me to a place of brokenness to where I was completely crushed and there was no way out within my own strength. And it wasn't until then that I realized I do need help. I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our issues as a people, especially for men, come from that vein, because we have to be a man. We have to be strong. We have to take care of things. And I think we can trick ourselves into thinking that we can when we can't. And I think
that's
it
exactly
was
right.
When I became broken and realized I do need God, and that was probably, I was grown, had children. So, I'm a slow learner, everybody.
Yeah. How is your life different? How, after choosing your walk with God and fully saying, okay, you let go, and you gave everything to God. Was it perfect? Was it?
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah.
And I will answer it the best way that I can. But once you surrender and you really are, and only you know,
yeah,
only you'll know if you're actually surrendering or not, and you're actually giving God everything that you have.
Yeah.
And once you do that, everything changes. There's nothing that stays the same if you're actually doing that.
Yeah.
And is it a bed of roses? No.
Not at all.
But there is a peace that comes with that. I don't have to worry about lying anymore or being caught in a lie because I've given it all to Him. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to worry about the things that used to plague me because I don't do those things anymore.
Yeah.
And there's so much joy and happiness and peace that comes along with living for God when you're truly doing that.
Yeah, and truly giving everything.
There's a lot of, and I used to be that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that say they've given it all to God, but that is really probably the hardest thing you do as a Christian.
Yeah.
Truly surrender and giving it all to Him. But to answer your question, once you do that, everything changes. Your lifestyle changes, your group of friends change, the way that you walk and talk changes, the way that you look at things are different.
Yeah. Right?
The way you may look at a politician may be different. God changes you, and it's not overnight, but it's a slow progression. And God, you should always be going deeper and learning and getting better.
Yeah.
If you're the same where you were 5 years ago, then we need to reassess where we're at, right?
Where we're at, yeah.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And I would say, you know, me personally, with my walk with God, there's a lot of times, too, to where I'm like, okay, fully surrendered, you know, I've given everything. And then also times where God kind of checks you and says, really?
Yeah.
Did you give everything?
Mm-hmm.
And God gives and takes away. And God has a way of definitely making sure that we stay on track.
That's right.
In the best way He can, for sure. Would you say there was things that you had to let go of? Was there people, maybe? Was there cars, wealth? What did you have to, personally, what was God calling of you and your walk with God? And I've had a lot of times where I've had to say, okay, I can't go down that path no more.
Right.
I'm supposed to be changed. What was that?
So again, that will be different for everybody, but for me, it was all the above, really. And you may be different than I am, but I have a very addictive personality. The way that I have gone through life, I'm either in or out. There's no middle ground with me. And I had to learn that about myself and safeguard myself in those areas. And so living for God is no different. I'm in or out, and I know that I'm in, I've made my mind up. God has done a miraculous work in me and my family.
Yeah.
And He's allowed me to grow and get to the point that I'm at, that I am on a sturdy foundation.
Yeah.
I tried to live for God for years, not understanding that fact, that He asks things of you. He's still going to require things of you. He's going to require you to be a good steward of your finances, which I struggled with for a large part of my life.
I think a lot of people struggle with that nowadays.
And just various different things. You know, certain people you can't hang around with because they bring up memories and they may alter the way that your spirit's feeling in the moment. So you have to guard yourself. You mature in the Lord, and spiritually you mature, and you're able to guard yourself against certain things. And that's kind of the essence of growing in God, I would think.
Yeah, and I think with that growth too, it just ties along with exactly what we have placed here. What were some of the biggest things that God has done for you in your life? What's multiple ways, actually, that you can say, okay, this was God. This was God.
Yeah.
Like a moment to where you had no control and you think it was an undeniable way that God had worked in your life and you knew.
Well, so all things are easier to see after the fact.
Yeah.
And I'll speak to somebody that may be listening that is dealing with an issue right now that you don't really see where God's could be in that situation.
Yeah.
And I would just speak to that and say that give it time. And once the storm has passed, you'll be able to see where God has definitely injected Himself into that situation. So, but that doesn't fully answer your question. For me, and I'm not to give her a big head, but my wife, you know, I was living like a heathen, you know, in California working, making good money, had no desire to be dating a holy woman, a godly woman. But as I laid in bed one night, God spoke to me and put her name on my heart. And looking back, in the moment, I didn't think anything about it. But looking back, that was absolutely a God moment.
A God thing.
That made me reach out to her. And there's been several God moments. When I realized that I was called to ministry, I was coming to this church by then. And there was a missionary, I think from the Middle East. And spiritually, he spoke to me even though everybody could hear it, but that's when I was called to ministry. And so that was a God moment. There's many God moments, but just for a couple examples. So.
Wow. Yeah, God is just good. And I think a God moment for me, miracles-wise, was one of the main things. It's so crazy to think that, I mean, we can justify a healing of a human body and we can justify certain things, but one of the times was is I asked prayer for my grandma's Jeep, and her car had been overheating for a long, long time. Yeah. And I'll never forget, there's smoke coming out of her car, and she is shutting it off. And this, my grandma is a lady of faith, and she shut off her car, and we were at the old rallies. And at the time, she was like, I have not enough finances. Right. I have nothing I can do with this. And, like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And she's freaking out. At that moment, I was like, okay, I had some weird faith hitting me.
That's right.
At that time, I carried a little vial of anointing oil. And I asked the church, I said, hey, everyone pray. You know, I'm going to lay my hands on my grandma's Jeep.
Sure.
And I'm going to pray over it. And I'll never forget, I put the anointing oil on her hood. And I had just this random burst of faith. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, you know, right. God, you can do anything. In the back of my head, I was thinking, this is a car. Mm-hmm. God, you're a mechanic now?
Right.
And surprisingly, it's amazing. And I told her, I said, okay, I want you to start your car again. No. If we start it, it can break my car. I mean, her car, it was edging on the red.
Right.
Like, you can destroy your engine.
Right.
And she, no. I don't want it to destroy my car. I said, start your car again. She started her car again, and it never overheated since that day.
Yeah.
And we actually took it to a mechanic, and he said, ma'am, there's no signs of why or if it ever has overheated in your car. And he said, there's nothing we can fix. She said, are you sure? She said, there's nothing.
Right.
There's nothing we can do to your car.
God can do it.
That God hasn't already done.
Only God can do it.
Only God can do it. God ever answered a prayer in a way that you didn't expect? Has God ever just moved on a prayer that you had prayed maybe for a long time? Maybe it was a quick prayer, but God just worked.
Yeah, I would say that God never works the way I expect him to work.
I think that's everyone.
I would say that God has never answered a prayer in the way in which I thought he would.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God is so enormous in his thought process and the way he deals with things. We don't even, the Bible says we look through a glass darkly. That means that we can only see a portion behind the veil. That means we can't see everything that goes on. So for us, when it happens, and in hindsight, we can see it after the fact, he did not answer that in the way that my human mind thought it should have been answered.
Yeah.
Right? But he did it, and it was better than it would have been if I could have fixed it. So yes, every time he's answered prayer,
he's answered
been in a fashion that I didn't think it would be able to be done. So yeah.
And I think too, we'll go on a little sidetrack here. The title of this is Unfinished Story, I believe. It should be Unfinished Story. And it's just amazing to me. And like Pastor actually talked about it today. It was crazy because I had like God just all up in my head this whole week. And that's why I put Unfinished Story, because it's such an amazing thing to think that we're all a living, and this isn't even in the notes, but we're all a living and breathing story.
That's right.
And he said it himself today, you know, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, I thought, well, if he's the finisher, number one, he's the only one who can say it's finished.
That's right.
I mean, he did it on Calvary and said it is finished.
Right.
And then he's also the author. He's the one who writes your story. So whenever people tell you, okay, well, you're dying from cancer or this is happening in your life, I think really you can take a step back and say, okay, who's the author?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the author of our story? Who's the finisher of our story? And no man can truly tell you, okay, well, you got cancer, you're going to die.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, number one, God's the one who decides if I have cancer, I'm going to die. And if you do have cancer, that's not to downgrade the condition that you have.
Right.
But it's more to say God is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he's the only one who can say it's finished.
Right.
It's done. And I think unfinished story is such a good way to word that, because we're all a living, breathing, unfinished story, including the Bible.
Thank God for it.
Yeah, the Bible is an unfinished story. I mean, many people don't catch the fact that the Bible says amen after every scripture besides Revelation.
Right.
You know why? Because it's a living and breathing story. We are currently living and breathing the Bible stories.
Right.
And I mean, after it's all said and done, we might get up to heaven and there's Chronicles. There's a whole library of Curtis Hermes and Kenneth Baldwin and Grayson Hermes.
Let's redact all of the Curtis stuff.
Yeah, right, right. let's see here. Okay, we'll go into miracles, and that kind of ties into what we were just saying, the cancer and everything. Healings. What's a time where you can say physically, emotionally, maybe, or spiritually, God has healed something?
Well, for me, we could sit here all day about all the miracles God has done in my life, and you people can feel however they want to feel about that, but God has been so good to me in every aspect of my life. If he never did anything else, I still couldn't praise him enough for the things that he has done.
Yeah.
For instance, my son, about 2 years old, most people know the story, but he got bitten by a mosquito, mm-hmm. and ended up getting the West Nile virus. It turned into meningoencephalitis.
Yeah.
And the brain neurologist and all that gave him, I mean, a very, very minute chance of being a normal person or even surviving. And as you know, the church prayed, and he made a full recovery like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
So God still works miracles, right?
He's still in the healing business.
That's right. He's in the business.
Yeah, he's in the business.
But he still works miracles, and that's just a physical one.
Yeah.
My marriage, you know, for all intents and purposes, God healed a time in our marriage where it probably wasn't the best.
Yeah.
And mentally, when you come to God and you get filled with His Spirit, He corrects things in your mind.
Yeah.
He corrects your path, if you will. So that would be where I'd be at with that.
Yeah. So you had a physical, maybe emotional and spiritual there.
Yeah.
What do you think is a moment where God's provision was very evident in your life? I know I have a decent bit. of those moments where you know for a fact God's provision was in your life. What's a prevalent moment?
I mean, the Bible says that the righteous, you know, you never see the seed of the righteous out begging for bread.
Yeah.
And I wholly believe if you're trying to live for God and you're putting one foot in front of the other and you're doing all that you can, He will 100% provide for you. There's really, there's no need to worry too much about it because God's going to take care of it. And no, I haven't always been that way. I haven't always been full of just over an abundance amount of faith, but through life situations and things that He brings you through, and the more you see Him provide, the more you see Him make a way when there wasn't a way, the easier you rest in His embrace because you know that He's got it all under control. So I would say the last 5 years of my life have been a provision-seeking season of my life. I entered into a new career path. Things, you know, from COVID, things happened that my previous business did not sustain that, right?
Yeah.
But God sustained me, and I'm doing much better. Actually, it's a miracle in itself. So God always takes care of His people.
He does,
stay faithful to Him, and He'll always provide. And it's amazing, really.
I think it's more of the miracles that we think are impossible is what truly makes it a miracle. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it wasn't that hard, if we could push a button and part the Red
That's
Sea
right.
every time,
it wouldn't be a miracle.
I mean, it wouldn't really be a miracle, but it's the fact that no man, nobody else could make that happen but God. And like they've been preaching that a lot now, but God.
But God.
And if it wasn't for God, there would be no way I think some of these situations we can make it through some of these situations. And I think it's really like kind of like the ocean. It's the deeper the depths and the deeper the problem, the deeper the trial, the deeper the tribulation that you're going through is what truly makes it a miracle.
100%.
And speaking of depths, have you ever gone through a season where God has taught you something deep? God has taught you something deep, like a depth maybe spiritually. Maybe it's going deeper in Him, or maybe it's a depth on a low.
Well, I will say to that point that God will bring you through seasons.
Yeah.
If you are like me and you are slow to learn or maybe on the stubborn side a little bit, God will—
Not at all, right?
God has a way of teaching you.
Yeah.
However, it may be a little longer— of a teaching than other people. But God has a way of teaching you to keep all things, no matter what's happening. The Bible says not to be so easily moved.
Yeah.
And I think that's the depths that he brought me through over the last 10 or 15 years is, you know, life comes with a lot of ebbs and flows. There's a lot of things that are in the moment that you think are going to be the end of you. And if you can ever learn that he truly is in control, and don't be so easily moved by every wind of doctrine, by every wind of finances or mental or emotional, whatever it is, don't be so easily moved. I think you can withstand pretty much anything the devil throws at you or life throws at you.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what he's taught me in the last season of my life.
Sure. I think with that too about being easily persuaded is crazy too, because I remember one of the messages Pastor had preached on was talking about the man who said, you know, I was almost persuaded.
Almost,
and it's crazy because you think about the amount of people that are like, okay, almost persuaded. It might have been you or Pastor, I don't remember, but somebody preached on that. I was almost persuaded.
As a scary proposition, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be almost persuaded.
Yeah.
I want to be persuaded that no matter what, I'm living for God and I'm going to make heaven my home.
Yeah.
And I hope that my prayer is that I always have that mentality with our young people, with my family, whoever it is, right?
Yeah. So, that we're always persuaded in God. Not
that's right.
Not persuading
not
anything
myself.
Else. Yeah, right? Because that can fill us too.
Amen.
That can fill us. How does God see you through those tough times? Like if you're going through a trial, a tribulation, there's deep depth. I mean, one guy said, I was listening to another podcast, and this guy said, he said, I think I hit rock bottom. He said, well, you didn't. And he said, why? I mean, I feel like I've hit the lowest I've ever hit. He said, if you hit rock bottom, you wouldn't be saying, I think I hit rock bottom.
You know
you would come to me saying, I hit rock bottom. Right. He said, when you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go but up.
Right.
And whenever you hit the lowest of low, all you can do is come up.
Yeah.
Because you can't go, you've hit bedrock.
Yeah.
There's no more going down. It's like Minecraft. I mean, you can't get through the bedrock.
That's right.
And once God sometimes allows us as humans too to go to the lowest of low, you know, there's no... You know you hit it, and we acknowledge it, and then we get persuaded to God. So how do you thank God in those tough times where you possibly hit bedrock?
Yeah.
And how do you think he'll bring them through? How do you think he brought you through?
So I think that's a twofold question. First, I think that you have to get into a really good church.
Yeah.
You need to have a good supporting cast, if you will. You need to have brothers and sisters that have your back, that are praying for you, that you know, it's one of the most encouraging things in life when you're going through one of those seasons and you've had a terrible Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you come in on a Wednesday and you have a brother or a sister say, you know what, you look nice, I've been praying for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but God's got this.
Makes you feel good.
And so when you have that support system in your life, that helps you through the bad times, that helps you through, you know, I can make it. I can go another step. And so that would be the physical side. And then the spiritual side is also you need to get plugged into a good church where the Spirit can move.
Yeah.
Because if the Spirit has freedom in your life, bro, your life is totally transformed.
Nothing like
from
it.
That
yeah.
point on. You don't think of things the way you used to.
Yeah.
You don't think of the worst possible outcome. What can God do for me in this season?
Yeah.
That everybody else has counted me out, whatever it is, you haven't seen my God work yet. So I don't count myself out ever, because I know how powerful God actually is and what he's already brought me through. So that, just be encouraged in how awesome God is and find you a good supporting cast.
I think, you know, one of the things I do now is it's kind of, pastors talking about stomping on the devil.
Yeah.
Today, you know, one of the main things I do, I think, is it's a good way to confuse the devil. Is anytime you hear something bad, say, praise God.
Praise God.
It's one of the best things you can do. And pastor says it all the time, like, well, praise God, but it's typically when good things happen. I was like, huh. Now every time I hear someone go, oh, well, this, and that, I'm like, praise God.
That's right.
Praise God, no matter what, because the devil, I mean, that's a slap to the face. This guy is like, no matter what I'm doing to this guy, every time he keeps on praising God,
that's right.
He just keeps on getting up.
Well, you know, the saying is, the more you pray, the more good things happen.
Yeah.
So stay in a life pattern of prayer.
Yeah.
Right?
Not just a prayer time.
That's right.
The people get
that
mixed up.
That helps you through. I mean, God, only God can do it.
Only God can do it.
Amen.
Yeah, and I we'll get on too. forgot to introduce this part, but we have the fact that you are our student pastor here at Family Life Church, and we go to Family Life Church, as here in Livingston, Texas. How did you, this is more on how did you step into this calling of your student pastor, your leadership? Did you always feel like you were called to this work with the students, or what do you think?
So to answer the question is 1,000,000% no. I had no desire. I had no thought process.
Yeah.
I had no inkling. I had nothing in the tank for ministry. I my whole life had been about business.
Yeah.
Had been about being the best that I could at providing for my family and things like that. So my mind had never really wrapped around that side of life until I was in my early 30s, probably.
Yeah.
And then God began to deal with me. So no, I did not. I had no.
No idea.
Nothing.
I think too, it's crazy. Whenever you say the business aspect, I'm actually thinking about making another series too about Christian people and maybe a few like people who are successful. And I'm thinking it's like going to be titled "Not Your Everyday Success."
Right.
And have people who have been successful in life and have them talk on the podcast as well. We'd get the perspective of, you know, people like Pastor, you know, and mm-hmm. people like you, and we get to see the aspect of, like, I mean, I've heard you, me personally, whenever I listen to business entrepreneurs, people who have been successful, that even lifts me up in God.
Sure.
And I think because their aspect on how they're successful in their business can right. transfer over to God. I mean, this guy who was talking, he said, success, you're never a failure. Basically, and he said the only way you can become a failure is when you quit.
That's right.
He said you only fail, and people get the F's mixed up. They think that they
All right.
get they think that they get, they think that they get though they think they became they think they became a
Ooh, help us Lord.
They think they became a failure.
Right.
They think they become
that's
a
good.
Failure when they should realize that you've
sure.
only fallen. You've
right.
only that's
right.
another F. It's crazy because
right.
there's so much downfalls there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a failure, and someone can hear this too. You're not a failure, and I think it's with sales. You make a phone call. They say you make 100 phone calls. You don't send that and make another one. Make another one. Make another one. Same thing with God. You know that transfers over too, and it's crazy. I think it'd be a good thing because you see the success and saying success is getting up. Success is every day waking up saying okay. I will be successful.
Sure.
You might be failing every single day,
yeah.
but you're not a failure because every single day you get up with the mindset,
that's right.
I will succeed. I will succeed. And one of these days, I mean, after everyone who I've talked to has been successful in my lifetime, and I've had the privilege of knowing a lot of them,
right.
and it's crazy. And like after talking to the owner of the company I work for too, it's amazing to hear their mindset and saying, you know, they were failure. They were like this, that, and what they thought. But he said, every day I get up and say, I will be successful.
Right.
Every day I'd make another phone call. Every day I'd go to another house, knock sure. on the door, and try to sell something.
Right.
And it's crazy because then you realize, okay, I can't be a failure until I fully decide that I'm no longer going to fight, no longer going to be in that.
We apologize. My son's doing things behind the camera.
He's doing some crazy stuff.
We'll edit that. Yeah, no, well, that's a good point. It really is. You have to have a mindset. It goes back to being persuaded.
Yeah.
You have to be persuaded. If you're living for God for your mom and dad, if you're living for God for your spouse, if you're living for God for your girlfriend or your boyfriend, that's not a successful formula for being mighty in Jesus.
Not
at
all.
You need to fall in love with God
yeah.
and His Word and live for Him for you.
With your call to the student ministry over here at Family Life Church, you never felt like you were called to this ministry in your lifetime. So what led you to this role? What made you say, okay, and I know it had to have been God, but what was it that really said, I have a burden, I have a calling for this age group, for these people?
I think probably, you know, once I started going or having my pastor that I have currently, which is a wonderful pastor,
yeah.
Pastor Baskin.
He's amazing.
He's been my mentor. He's been spiritually my bedrock. I mean,
same here.
I don't even know how to put into words what he's been. But there was just, like I said, there was that one service we had where there was a missionary that came that spoke directly to me. And that's when I had kind of the winds of ministry kind of had kind of started to to blow a little bit in my life. And then the other part is I am a big kid. I don't like
I'm a
this
big
is
kid
the
now.
Most serious you'll probably ever see me unless I'm behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
But and so it kind of was a natural fit because I'm a goofy guy.
Yeah.
And I like to have a good time.
100%.
And I think young people kind of respond to that more so than they do. Oh, bless. You know.
Yeah.
You know
what 100%.
I'm saying? So, and I think it was just a natural fit because of that. I think. Yeah. Probably.
And I think for instance, you know, we're talking about pastor. It's amazing to find a pastor, and we can never get in our heads that, yes, spiritually your pastor is above you. Spiritually, mm-hmm. we gotta realize that number one,
right.
It is in a way a superiority, mm-hmm. and we gotta be submitted to him. But we can't get in our minds that our pastor is such a superior being that we can't reach out to them. And if your pastor is that way, you know, praise God.
Right.
But, I mean, you need to definitely – it's good to have a pastor that you can communicate with. And even if you think your pastor is that way, it's so good to be able to reach out to them and make sure, you know, you can connect with
Absolutely.
Them. And I think really it's the hardships where you really learn the depth of – I think I never really seen how my mom or my stepdad seen, you know, pastor's ministry. And I've never really seen how everyone else, you know, I was like, this is, you know, strange, you know, this, and that. And then you go through the struggles, you go through the pain, the hardships, and then you can really take a look at that ministry. You really take a look at your pastor's wife in a whole new perspective and say, this is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is love.
No doubt.
For sure. And I think for the students and stuff, what would you say are some of the biggest things that can help them face their challenges today? What are some of – there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of Goliaths out there nowadays. I think even more so than it used to be. I mean, I'm not downgrading the elders.
Right.
The elders had to struggle. The elders, you know, they held their landmarks and they did a wonderful job.
Right.
But the Bible does say in Revelation that many more spirits would be – into the earth and into the atmosphere. And I think that comes along with also where it talks about that if you don't, you preached about that. And if you don't fill that spot, the Bible talks about that more demons will penetrate that area. And it's crazy because you think about it and it's like, wow, there's more spirits in this earth than ever before because there's more sin in this earth than ever before. And we're allowing it to multiply. And because of that, now look at your media, go on your phone. I mean, it's prevalent today. Anything you do, the sin is prevalent. And I don't mean just like the eye catchers and stuff they try to get you on media, but I also mean just look at the sin. Look at the artists nowadays. They're more openly satanic than ever before. They're more openly, prevalently doing sin than ever before.
Sure.
When a long time ago, songs really weren't that bad.
Bad.
I mean, songs were talking about being happy, being dancing, you know, You Are My Sunshine. And then now we got just these songs that are way off in left field. But what do you think? There's a lot of Goliaths. So how do we face those Goliaths as a student?
Not that I'm an authority on the matter, but and I do believe this with some praying because I have some teenagers that live in my home. And so there are unique things that are happening in today's world with our young people.
Yeah.
And I would say the two most dangerous things right now that I feel is there's three. One is ear pods, the other is YouTube, and the third one would be music. Even secular Christian music to a degree sometimes can be dangerous. Because if you think about the devil, the adversary, what his job was originally, music's the only element on earth that wasn't created on earth.
That's exactly right.
It's a powerful instrument that was created for one thing. It's for worship.
Glorify,
it's for praise.
Worship.
And you're the only one that can say who you're worshiping and praising to in
and
that
it's someone.
Music.
It's someone for sure.
Yeah, you're giving something
know.
Praise. So that is a very, very important, if I were speaking directly to our younger generation right now, I would say guard your eyes, guard your ears, make sure that you have built hedges around both of those areas.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, well, you just sound like an old guy. Well, I'm really not. I'm not that
not,
old.
Not that old.
But,
not that
and
old.
Two, there's a lot of truth to it. I wish I would have guarded my ears and my eyes a lot better when I was younger.
It's like that childhood nursery rhyme that my grandma used to play over and over again, and I had that little child's book, and it had a CD in it. Like, some kids now today don't even know what a CD is.
Right.
And I put, let alone the VSH tapes and all this other stuff that we used to use. It's crazy to think that, like, the the CDs, I mean, students nowadays, they couldn't tell you what that is. Even though, I mean, we use it for games, we use it for all this, but everything's digital now.
Yeah,
and like no doubt. My kids might not even know what even USB drive is. Because,
exactly.
I mean, and it's crazy to think, though, it's just like that nursery rhyme that I would put it in there and it would say, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Right.
Oh, be careful,
right.
little ears, what you hear. And then it talks about be careful, mouth, what you say.
Right.
And what you, and it's so crazy because as kids, we would mumble this stuff. But then whenever you get older, I mean, you sing that to yourself. Be careful what you hear,
well, there's a whole
what you
study,
say, what you see.
Not to get on a side a rabbit trail. I'm
yeah.
good at that. But there is an actual study that has been done on the effects of music
yeah.
and your brain. The effects
yeah.
of music and how it connects neural pathways. It can repair certain things.
Yeah.
There's a study in Canada that they did. It was a medical study.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody was being put under anesthesia.
Yeah.
And they had classical music playing 5 minutes before they took the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
It only took half the amount of anesthesia to put them under and do the surgery successfully.
Wow.
Versus if you didn't. So music's a very powerful thing.
Wow.
And there's so many outlets nowadays that
yeah.
you can get your hands on music, right?
Yeah.
From Alexa, from your PlayStation games, from your phone, YouTube, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It
Video
finds
games.
It finds its way into your
yeah.
life. And if you're not careful, you it's easy to get tripped up on that for sure. That's one of the most dangerous areas.
That is crazy
right
how
now.
Like even video games they tend
yeah.
to hide it. You might like a video game, but Fortnite, all this other stuff that's
yeah.
out nowadays. But it's crazy that like they nonchalantly everyone has background music no matter what you're doing, and you have that background music and it's playing, and it's crazy to think that they slyly try to slip in everything music
right.
music
For
music
sure.
trying to, and it's crazy because all these songs nowadays too, they're so easy to remember, and
yeah.
you might not even listen to them. It might just be an ad you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Of all these new singers who I can think of nowadays, and it's crazy because it gets stuck in your head and in your mind, and it's just the way of worship. It's
right.
it's
That's
just
right.
even if it's just the melody of that song,
mm-hmm.
you're worshiping something.
That's true.
How would you say, so we talked about the challenges and how to face those as a student, but how do you approach discipling and mentoring young people? And I know you said, so now we know that Brother Curtis Hermes is a student pastor of Family Life Church, but how do we go from, okay, so now we weren't called, or we were called, we just didn't know we were called, and then we didn't feel it though, and then God calls us, and then now that God calls us to that level, and this goes for anyone, you don't even got to look at the student pastor role, but I mean, you didn't feel that you were called, so there's people who might be listening, you don't feel that you're called, you don't feel that you're at that level yet. Which we know, you know, our brother here didn't feel like he was at that level yet. So then how do we go from, okay, we don't feel we're called, and then we step into the role, because that's a different thing. You can
right.
be called, and then once you step into the role, now you got to execute what
mm-hmm.
you're called to do,
yeah.
what you're called to be. You're living and breathing.
Right.
So how would you say over time, maybe you're, I mean, I think everyone's still developing everything, but how would you go about like the discipleship, and what are some of the things that you would mentor young people with, and some
well,
of the key points?
Goes back, and I'll probably hit this a lot throughout
mm-hmm.
this, but having a wonderful spiritual leader in your life
yeah.
is key. But the Bible in Timothy talks about to preach the word in season, be instant in and out of season.
Yeah.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all
yeah.
long suffering. Amen.
Amen.
With long suffering. So
yeah.
And once you
long
once you
suffering.
Well,
yeah.
But there's a reason behind that. Once you
yeah.
step into that role, I believe God enlightens and helps you become what you're supposed to be if you're praying for that.
Yeah.
And our world needs more long suffering because I think as a movement, we kind of went to if you're not exactly what we're looking for,
yeah.
we're going to put you on the back burner.
Yeah.
And I think something at our church that we do rather well is we try to love everybody regardless of where you're at in your walk with God, because the Bible's very specific in being you doing all this in all long suffering, and that simply means that you're going to mess up at times.
100%.
Whoever you're helping,
yeah.
and am I going to bash them over the head with it, or am I going to love them back
yeah.
to Christ, right? And I think that's what God implanted in me, to love you guys. My wife is the bad cop. I'll be the good cop.
There you go.
Right.
throw that on her, the bad cop role.
But she wears that badge very well.
Yeah, very well.
But it's true to a degree. We have to love people to God. You can't beat people to God. You can't shame them to God. You have to show the love of God through yourself, through your ministry.
100%.
And that's really the only way you'll ever win people.
Yeah.
You know, I can talk to you, Brother Kenneth, as long as it takes for you to say yes, to make the sell.
Yeah.
Right? We'll use that 100%, terminology.
Yeah.
But if you really didn't want that product to begin with, I just forced you to do something that you're not going to keep. You're not going to keep doing, right? So we have to love them to God.
Yeah.
We have to show them God through the way we walk, the way we talk.
Yeah.
And that's not something that happens overnight. That's why it's very important to have a good godly team.
Yeah.
And support cast. And that's what I will give our pastor credit for that. Even when I mess up, and I've had mess ups, he'll be like, "Okay, let's pick up the pieces. what do we need to do to pick the pieces up?" Mm-hmm. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because you know, even Paul said, "When I fall,
I shall arise." Yeah.
And you know, if Paul can fall, I mean, any of us can fall. Right? Yeah.
This has been the Tribe of Judah podcast. What a wonderful time we had with Reverend Curtis Hermes with the filming of the Tribe of Judah podcast. Due to the length of this video, we decided to split it into two different parts. Episode 4, part 1, and part 2. Part 2 will be coming after about a week after this video is posted, and we hope you stay tuned to enjoy more comedy and more. From Reverend Curtis Hermes, the student pastor over at Family Life Church.
Thank you, Lord.
And,
God bless you.
God bless.